Let's gavel. Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Gavel. It's so good to have you back here.
Welcome back.
Today's episode is about outlining and finals. And we're going to be talking about our 1L finals, but hopefully 2Ls and 3Ls can take away some tips and tricks from this episode too. So, wow, Bailey, do you remember 1L finals?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Okay, let me think back.
Yeah, like 1L if you could finals. Describe your 1L finals in one word, what would you say?
One word to sum up that whole period of time, 1L year. I think I would say I was kind of feeling, I would say scary. It was a little bit scary. I think I was just kind of scared, you know, like I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was coming. Like everyone was like, ooh, finals. This was the first time I think that I had one test representing like your whole entire semester's worth of knowledge. So that was kind of scary. I don't know. How did you feel?
I would also say chaotic. That just felt like so much pressure.
It did. Yeah. And then it kind of came out of nowhere. I felt like it was like the whole year they were like, you know, outline, la la, make your study guides. And it was just kind of all words until the dates. Like I remember we got the schedule of our final classes and you find like what classes are yours and you're just like, oh shoot.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Not all of my classes had midterms. So it really, for a lot of them, it was like really like the final and then maybe a 20% buffer for like participation grade. But like, that's not going to like do it. You know?
And for me, like I wasn't banking on the participation grade because I was not really asking a lot of questions. I was kind of, you know, like I said before, hang out in the back. So
yeah,
20% participation, but an 80% final is kind of like I get one test to make you believe that I know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
But in the movies when they're in the library, it was literally that, was it not?
Yeah.
During that period, it was everybody was in the chairs in the library. Library was full.
I also did a lot of studying alone in my apartment, which for me is not – it's actually quite unusual because I'm a library girl through and through. All of my memories are just in my apartment studying for the finals. And I just think I drove myself into madness alone in my apartment. Mm-hmm. And so that's why my words chaotic because I did so many just crazy things. And I was just crashing out constantly.
Yeah, sometimes I like to be around people studying. Because it makes me feel more motivated. And then sometimes it's stressful because everyone has their weird little study tics and they're bouncing their leg or they're flicking their pen or they're clicking their pen or whatever. And I don't like dealing with people's, you know, tics. I think first year, if I wasn't at home studying, I was in the Starbucks. You remember that Starbucks that was like right on the corner?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. Really? So I would sit there outside and I would get the blonde Americano, which is like the strongest coffee at Starbucks.
Oh my God, yes. Look at that. That's when I – okay, law school is when I found out the difference between the blonde and the dark for this exact reason. It was like, give me the most caffeine.
I was like, which coffee is the strongest one?
Yeah.
They're like blonde Americano. I was like, all right, I'll take it.
When I would need breaks, I'd get up and – do like dance breaks.
And I still do that.
Yeah, no, same. But like during finals, I was like, okay, what can I do like for 5 minutes just to snap me out of this funk? And then I found that dance breaks were the way to go for me.
Yeah. I think for sure. I think it just sometimes I'm like, okay, I just need a song. Like I'll say, I need a song. Like I need at least like a 4 to 5 minute song. And I just need to like, forget that this is like real life and like my test is like the time to study is fleeting. Oh and so I'm like, forget that for like 5 minutes and just dance and just be a girl, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Same. Yeah,
I still do that. It still helps. So like every time I finish court, if I'm doing like a remote appearance or something, I will just, as soon as I'm done, I'm like click and I'm like, boom,
da, da, da. Really? You get up and dance? Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
It's fun.
For me, it's like, after work. I get home and I'm like, Malik, please, I need a moment. And I come upstairs and dance.
That is so funny. You know what else I do and what I used to do too in law school? I'm pretty sure I did it first year law school too. I like to go to YouTube and I like to type in karaoke. But I'll just karaoke because sometimes I don't want to dance. I just want to sit on my couch and just be like yell, you know? Yeah.
Like sing your heart out.
Yeah, yes. Sing my heart out. And then it doesn't matter if I hit the note, whatever, you know?
Are there other things you would do during final season to like, you know, bring yourself back, ground yourself a little bit?
I mean, get a fresh coffee.
Of course.
You know, I would do that. I would always do that.
It goes without saying.
It goes without saying.
I think kids these days, they're doing matchas now. I know you're doing matchas too.
I like matcha now too.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then it was just pure coffee. Who cared about the matcha? Like no one didn't care about the matcha.
We didn't really know about matcha, did we?
No, I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I don't think I did a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, I had a weird finals schedule leading up to finals. So I like would start studying a few weeks before because so during the semester I had like a kind of a difficult time like knowing this is 1L, right? The whole year 1L. Of 1L. Yeah. I had a difficult time understanding what I really needed to know from my readings and like what facts and information I need to prioritize and what's just like other information. All the words would just kind of jumble. And so I figured out early on that my time spent on class readings was not that useful for me because I just never like really understood. So my tactic was during class, like I would handwrite my notes. I would kind of listen and try to just take in as much as I can. I wasn't trying to get down every word. I wasn't trying to do the readings like perfectly beforehand. So because I didn't have a lot of notes during the semester, a few weeks before finals, let's say 4 weeks before a final, and then I would get my syllabus. The syllabus would become my bare bones outline. And then I would reread the cases, basically work through the syllabus. But now that I kind of had a sense of a whole semester's worth of the class, I knew what I needed to focus on a little bit more. And so my outline was a little bit more useful than it would have been if I was just writing down every single word that I could think of during the semester. Right. You know what I mean?
That's sort, yeah.
Yeah. So then by the time that the official final studying rolled around, because remember how they would give us a week off before
like a reading week they called us, or like fall break slash whatever, reading
exactly.
week.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So by the time that time rolled around, I was done with rereading the course. So what I would do is I would work on now just like having a deeper understanding of everything and also making my condensed and attack outlines like during those few weeks.
Yeah, but like how did you have time like to – okay, because at the end, right, 4 weeks or whatever before the reading week is when you would start. That time we're still kind of like – or like at least my professors are still teaching us. Yeah, you're still in class. You're still learning other stuff. So like when were you – like, how did you balance, I guess, doing the homework or did you versus, like, starting to, like, prep for, like, you know, all of that?
No. Honestly, I didn't spend a lot of time prepping for class. I would like, skim the cases, get a gist, like, honestly, it's crazy. Like, get a gist of what the case is about. Very quickly highlight the issue in blue, the facts in orange, the analysis in green, and the conclusion read and just move on, you know, like I wouldn't think about it too much.
I see. So like you weren't really like not even did you use what was that website? You know the one?
Quimby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did Quimby it or did you just like go through like on paper, like go through the actual case, but just boom, 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 highlight and then move on?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Yeah. I would Quimby it. Because again, like it's not like I understood. I just knew like I just knew I'm not going to spend my time understanding this right now because we'll talk about it in class and I can figure it out later. I'd rather like go back and start making an out like a real usable outline from like the beginning of the course. I don't know. Like I just
that was
kind of
brave though. That's brave because I don't know. Like did you ever get cold called during that period of time? Or no, or like by that time, were you okay? Because at the end of the 1L, maybe you had figured out like the cold call system and you were like, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's not like it's comfortable per se, but I might be more used to my environment. So maybe I, you know, could predict like what questions were. I don't really know, dude. Yeah, I don't know. Whole first year for me was just such a, it was like survival time.
It was. It was like living in Survivor, the show.
Yeah.
Was it not?
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. It's crazy. I feel like I almost did like probably the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. I was so like nervous for class that I was like, one time I don't even know if I mentioned this already, but I so overprepared for one class that like I didn't even.
Oh, yeah.
I think I told you about that.
Rolling.
Yeah. That I did just like completely blanked out, but I would super prepare because I was just nervous that like even once I kind of got used to like my environment and like I wasn't so worried about if I sounded good anymore during a cold call. I was just like, I just want to have an answer or mm-hmm. be able to say something in case I was going to get called on. So I think I spent a lot of time making sure I knew the ins and the outs of the case. And mm-hmm. I think it wasn't until like later I was like, let me use Quimby or something.
Wait, okay. Even as you're talking about it now, I'm thinking even if I wanted to do that, your method, mm-hmm. again, it would just be a bunch of words that didn't really mean anything to me, mm-hmm. no matter how much I read. Because, you know, those cases are not – it's not a page. It's like 20-page cases.
Right.
So as I'm reading – like even page 3, I'm like, oh crap, what about everything I just read was relevant? They just seriously. So I have a question. Did you were a political communications major, right? As mm-hmm. undergrad, did you guys do any case reading? Did you read cases?
We read
or
philosophy? I think we did read cases. Mm-hmm. It was like we took like a media law class. That was the closest like law class that we took. Mm-hmm. And I did have to take some poli sci classes. We did read cases, but we weren't taught like in the tradition of like issue, you know, analysis, conclusion, whatever, dicta, whatever. We weren't taught in that way. So even when I was reading cases, like I wouldn't say that I learned enough to be able to like use it in law school. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe you're, well, I don't know which way is which way, but one's top down. Is that you? Like you look at the bigger picture and then maybe I'm like the opposite. Like I need to know the smaller things to be able to then step outside and be like, okay, I know where everything fits.
Oh, okay. Where yeah, I think you're right. Like, I'm the opposite.
All these small things, I'm not really hearing you on the small things because I need to get the bigger picture. Yes. So you kind of just like sat in class and like took notes and like listened.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. That's such a good observation.
Right. I think that's different. I think that
bleeds through in everything. Like even in my writing classes, like I was always a conclusion first in like going through the semester, I was always like big picture and then I can get into the outlining.
Yeah.
Like even my tips for outlining, it's going to be like conclusion first. You're right.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's kind of crazy. I think I like maybe dabble in both, but I think during the first year or first semester specifically, I was very much so like, I need to know like everything that's happening. And then my outlining process is more like, okay, now where does it all fit? And I think that did kind of, because all the classes were so niche, right? Like every class was like so small picture. Mm-hmm. I think at the end, I just spent time like, okay, how do I make this? How do I understand the bigger picture from all these smaller pictures? Like, how do I put this together? And so I would spend time drawing. That's why a lot of my notes, I think, had a lot of like arrows and connections and charts and like flow charts, because it was just trying to put it all in one like map. But I couldn't have understood that until I got the smaller picture, at least for me. So my outlines were very much like diagrams or charts or, you know, some sort of like flow chart.
You know, I was going through my old outlines ahead of this episode and I was thinking to myself, Bailey would scream if she saw my outlines because they are literally just 20 pages of words.
Oh my gosh.
Just pure words. I think I had
no color, I'm assuming.
Very minimal color. Like highlight in yellow the name of the case. That's like one thing I always did. Highlight in yellow the name of the case, and that's pretty much the color.
That was the extent.
And I think I had between one and like three charts total on my outlines. Yeah. So it was all words, really.
That's so crazy.
But your outline's colorful.
Yeah, I should have shown you. Yeah. Like every, and it was so funny because I was talking with my sister the other day and she said something similar, or she reminded me of how I explained how I would explain this to you. Like for me, my outlines are longer, but because I feel like I want one topic per page, I would sooner make my font size 8 to fit it on the page than to drop it down to another page if it was like a specific topic. Is that crazy? Like, cause I just like to have
visual.
Yeah. I just wanted like a huge, like, what do you call it? Heading. And then everything with that heading under that.
Okay. And so how many like pages of that did you have going into your test?
Okay. So I was looking at, I would have a longer outline that I would make, and I was looking at torts, for example, just now recently before this episode, and I had 72 pages an outline.
Like is that your full outline or your condensed outline?
That's the full one. That's the full one.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not terrible.
It's, you know, and it has like, I mean, if I can fit everything for the year in 72 pages with like diagrams and like every page isn't full, because if it didn't fit, like I would skip the page. Yeah. And so then I would condense it, and the condensed attack, like as I started getting better, I realized, okay, I need an attack outline for my open book exams because even though I know where everything is, it's just going to take me a little bit longer. So if I have the attack outlines with like the way I would just be able to copy and paste it into my test, you know, so like this is an example of negligence. Negligence is like, I would write that in the attack outline just the way I would almost like verbatim put it in the test if I saw negligence in a test. That would be my attack outline.
Yeah.
And that would be shorter.
You just touched on so many different things. So like full outline versus attack outline, and then pre-writing is kind of what you're alluding to. Yeah. And then also closed book versus open book. So let's talk about all
back
of them.
Back up.
Okay. So yeah, full outline versus condensed probably speaks for itself. Your full outline has all the info, and then the condensed outline is probably something you're more likely to use on test day because it's a little bit easier to flip through, basically.
Yeah, when you're
that's a good segue into open versus closed book exams. Open book exams means that you are taking the test, but you can also reference your notes whenever you want, however you want. So like they can be on your computer, they can be printed, like you are allowed to bring notes into the test. And usually the open book exams, there's not like a limit. It's not like you only get one index card. It's like you can bring all your notes. You can bring your textbook. Like it's a true open book. Even with all that said, like you need a condensed outline because you do not have time to flip through the book and try to like reread the case. There's no time for all that.
Or learn something during the time of the final.
Absolutely
like,
not.
I think I tried that actually, like not to learn it, but yeah, for international analysis, my little professor, he was just too cute. He was elderly and so sweet. And he wasn't, the whole time he was talking, nothing, like nobody was getting anything from him.
Okay,
it was just like a snooze fest of a class, right? For your international law class too?
International law is a little bit squishy. It's not the same.
Yeah. So anyway, that exam, I was like, yeah, I kind of get it enough to like take his exam. Like how bad can his exam be when he didn't really say much like the whole semester? And I brought my book and I did like take notes and stuff. But I remember during that exam, I was trying to like nothing stuck. You know, I think that even if you have an open book exam, you should have something like stick to your brain, like some general idea of what things are, you know?
I think you should have most of an idea. Actually, maybe like 99% of an idea.
Right. And then like 1% you have your notes. Like I think for that class, I was like 99% I got my notes and 1% I'll have an idea. Yeah. And I remember like flipping through like just trying to learn something. Yeah. That was stressful. Don't do that. Don't recommend.
Yeah. No, you should definitely go in knowing. I would say the benefit of having your notes is to help you remember how you're supposed to talk about the law and the conclusion and stuff, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, okay, so that was open book. You have your notes. Closed book is your traditional, like, you know, memorization exam, or you can't bring any notes in. It's like every test you've taken up until law school, basically.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah.
And that's classic. Like, actually, But it's more common to have open book exams than closed book exams in law school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is kind of crazy because you would think, like, being in a professional program that they want you to memorize things, mm-hmm. but no, wrong. No. And actually, I feel like that was one of, at least me and the people that were in my mod, our kind of conversations were like, I wish that we had more closed book exams because trying to remember or trying to memorize everything for the bar was kind of like foreign. Having gone through 3 years where there's like mostly open book exams and like you have to memorize stuff, but not to like that level, like mm-hmm. not to that level, you know? And so I think we were like, dang, like I wish we had more practice of this in law school, but we kind of, you know, wow. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. Did That's you feel so that way? Interesting.
I mean, yeah, like for the bar, I wish we would have had practice, but I don't think I would have done nearly as well as I did if I didn't have my notes during finals.
No, true.
Seriously. I would have forgot everything.
Like I'm only here because I had a homework exam. Exactly. Yeah. And I know like for a fact that – sorry, one more thing. I know for a fact – that COVID happened right when we were taking torts because my tort professor was going to literally, and like you can ask anybody in Mod B, our torts professor was like, every professor is like beyond smart, but she was like beyond.
Really?
Yeah, beyond, beyond. And we all were like, so everybody was so scared for that exam that like when COVID hit and it became a open book exam, everybody was like, I knew it. Everyone literally was like, we were going to fail that class.
No,
like,
way.
As a class, we were going to fail. Yes.
No.
Yes.
What? Torts?
Torts. No, she was doing way. I can't even explain
That's
what she was
so
doing. When I say everybody was sick and everybody was like, no, but that torts exam, like she would say like in class, and let's refer to the footnote on page, whatever. Did you read the footnote? Nobody read the footnote.
Not a footnote.
Nobody read the footnote. She was like, and did you go back to the appendix and see that?
Yes.
Like, nobody cares about that, especially when I'm in all these other classes. Like, I'm not looking at the footnote or the appendix for that.
Wow.
So she was testing out of those sections. So we were all like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. Yes, it's so scary. Anyway.
Wow, that's so interesting. The footnotes is wild because here's the thing. To be honest with you, I was told that footnotes are important, which shocked me. It honestly shocked me because to me, a footnote is an afterthought, but I guess
it
not.
Is.
It's actually like they put footnotes for a reason. So pay attention to footnotes, people. I don't know. But to test on footnotes is diabolical.
No, I remember the day that the class where she told us that, like where she made that known to us. Because I think we were all in torts like, ooh, this is like, we're living.
No, if you only knew. Girl, my torts professor showed up with a squirrel hat one day. So
what?
We had very different experiences. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Yes. You guys are having fun in torts.
He was so silly about torts. I loved it. I loved it.
Oh,
and I feel
gosh.
Like that's kind of like what torts is. Maybe because
it's silly. She was so serious. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I don't feel like torts is like super serious. Even though I didn't realize this back then, but torts makes up like everything that we do now. Like
no,
we
it's
are,
literally everything.
Yeah, it's everything. So pay attention to torts, you guys. Because you'll use it probably if you're gonna be a civil litigator.
Oh, okay, I got her name.
Oh, tell me her name. Oh, I heard of her. Interesting.
She was sickening. We had her at the same time and everybody was like,
No. That's a lot.
That day that we found that out, like the room just felt so heavy. Like if I call right now and ask her to tell you about that day, everyone was just like, are you really going to test us on a footnote? Because now we need to go back and see. all the footnotes that we missed. Yeah. And now we're scared. Yeah.
You know what? That's what's freaking annoying about law school is they'll throw shit like that at you as you're just fresh and new. And you're like, I barely understand. And all of a sudden you have to know the footnotes. And it's like –
It's like
Can
just
someone
when I
give
thought
me
I
a
was,
break?
No, yeah. Literally, it's like just when I thought I was making it here by you adding something onto the load that I'm already carrying.
That's so
girl. It's like pre-writing is what?
Pre-writing.
Yeah, let's talk
about
that. Yeah,
so okay, so maybe before we get into pre-writing, you touched on racehorse exams. So those, do you want to explain what those are?
Okay, yeah. So racehorse exam is Well, I mean, I guess what it sounds like, it's an exam that was meant, at least for the exams that we had, you're not meant to finish them. They're just like, it's a longer prompt or a longer question or a more involved question, I guess, that where the time limit is just not going to allow you to reach every single thing in that question.
Yeah.
So you're racing through the exam. And then it's just kind of like whatever you get down on the page, try to get it all down, but understand that you're not going to finish it. And that hurts, you know, especially when you're trying to, like, not finish an exam, like, for all of us, I'm pretty sure that are in law school, like, that is something
it we feels
just don't
weird.
Do. Yeah. You just like, don't
you get
do.
It done. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't turn an exam incomplete. This is like, you. They know you're going to turn it incomplete, but still just try your best. So.
Right. And it's like, it's like about the amount of issues that you can identify and get down and analyze correctly. So that's like. It's a test of volume, right?
Yes. Kind of like a little mini bar exam in that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Racehorse exams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's, I don't know if there's a term for it, but there's those deeper thinking type of exams where the professor's looking for, you know, there's a few questions and they want a lot of analysis on those questions. Yeah.
Yes. That's the exam where you first like open it and you're kind of pleasantly surprised that it's only really like half a page, a question.
Right.
Like, oh,
yeah.
I have 5 hours to do this.
Yes. But then that half a page turns into a whole.
Yeah.
I think like, is con law like that? I would say
con law is like that.
Yeah.
Because it's not that deep. Even on the bar exam, it was the same way. Like, it's not that deep of an issue. Mm-hmm. But you have to like analyze it and go through all the things. And
You need to have a good, robust discussion about the question versus just a quick. This is a what do they call it? God, offer, acceptance, mutual assent, consideration.
Right.
Like just bam, 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 bam. But it's not like that. It's like let's talk about it. And
it's
what
like if
this
you look at it this way, you could interpret it like this, but you could interpret it like this, and maybe some judges would see it this way, some judges see it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And you will not believe how long these tests are, you guys. I'm talking like 4, 7, 8 hour tests where you're actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours is wild.
I had one like 24 hour exam and I remember thinking like, they're like, just take all the time. Like, I'm sorry, that's stressful.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want you want me to like eat, sleep, like it's like a whole entire day and I don't want to forget to turn it in. I don't know. It's just why?
The 8 hour exams, like you're going to the bathroom with your laptop, like you're just kind of like doing whatever you can to not miss a moment. It's 8 hours and they really mean it. Like you're there for 8 hours.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's
wild. And by the way, I just want to say this. A lot of the open book exams, at least for me, maybe for you too, Hamase, but they were at home, so they were remote.
Mm-hmm.
This is even before COVID, so that's why you're like going to the bathroom and stuff because you have in your own space, and you're just. I'm just saying. I realize that we didn't say that, so it sounds like whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're at home, and this is pre-COVID, so I'm sure post-COVID they're still doing this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're at home, you're in your own space, and you can take the 8 hours as you, like.
So, did you ever do? Pre-writing outlines for any of your tests?
I did. I actually started to do that more often.
Tell us about it. So
pre-writing is kind of what I touched on a little bit, but now we have the name of it, I guess, attached to what I was saying. But it's basically when, like, what I would do is I'd have my longer outline, my full outline, and then my attack or condensed outline would be how, like, I would pre-write my answers. So anything that I can control. So this law is about this, or like I would pre-think out that analysis and write that statement in a condensed way so that if I recognize that issue, I would just copy and paste that and then go from there. So most of my time during the exam was focused on the analysis part of using the facts that were given to me and not on how to word the law.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. Same. I think for CivPro and con law, where there were specific subjects, for example, a question about summary judgment. The moving party has the burden of showing there's like no dispute of fact. And then it moves to the other side who now has the burden of showing there's a dispute of fact. That whole step by step, and these are the steps we're going through. I would pre-write all of those when it was like one, two, three, or like this side, that side.
Mm-hmm.
But for like contracts or like torts even, I feel like the classes that you could say it in a sentence, you could say the issue and the rule in one sentence, mm-hmm. I wouldn't pre-write as much. I'd just mm-hmm. have an attack outline. But yeah, the longer ones, I would do the pre-writes.
Yeah, it was helpful. I mean, I recommend. I feel like it also kind of helps put that law into context and kind of takes it out of just like – takes it out of the textbook and that, you know, right. it's written in the black letter way and you can kind of word it in a way that makes sense to you. And yeah. I think working with the material that way actually helps, you know, memorizing too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So when you were studying for finals, like what was your – did you have any particular study methods or was like your process – what that look like? Just outlining?
Yeah. Let me think about study methods. Yeah. I mean, I would outline, but I think the way that I did my outlines, because I am a visual learner, would vary. So sometimes I used like flashcards, depending on what I felt the subject called for was how I kind of interpreted like the material or the deliverable that I felt like that subject needed. Does that make sense? So
like every outline was different?
Yes.
Oh my, so. I would literally, I would die if I didn't know. Yes.
Like if you saw my hat, like this is why I still have every single school supplies thing that you could ever need.
Oh my
because God. Also the way I would take notes would be different every single class too. And it would drive like my friend that was sitting next to me all the time crazy. So sometimes I felt like it called for a flashcard moment. Sometimes it was the like full white paper, like X, I don't even know what they're called, but
butcher paper
moments. Gosh. Where I would like tape it onto the wall and do that whole thing. Oh, sometimes God. It called for like a whiteboard where I would do whiteboard sketches and outlines and stuff and then take a picture, print that out, do it, erase it, and do a different version.
Really?
Sometimes it called for that. Sometimes it was just a basic, regular, you know, your run-of-the-mill type it out outline. Or sometimes I would even do like a handwritten outline on line paper. Sometimes I did that.
What? Mm-hmm. How sometimes long would that take you?
I mean, I don't even know how long things would take. I just, if the subject called for that, I felt like this is the only way I can do this.
God. Would it take a lot of effort to figure out, you know, go through that?
Yeah, it took a lot of effort to go through that.
Stop, Bailey. Yeah.
I couldn't study until I figured out the perfect method for that material.
How many hours are in your day?
Girl, I don't even know. Like, I didn't even, like, I had to go through this process. Otherwise, like, I'm telling you, I would not have gotten through law school without going through.
Yeah. Wow. That's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. But, like, but literally to each their own, of course. If that helped you, you got to do what you got to do.
But that's no why judgment. I feel like, yeah, but it's kind of crazy. Like, as I'm talking about it, it does seem like it seems natural to me to go through this mm-hmm. process, but it does seem like as I'm articulating it, I was a little bit excessive. Could I have cut some corners there? Could I have cut corners? Because that's why I feel like I can honestly do a bar prep course because I have like so many methods mm-hmm. of, you know, how yeah. I study.
Yeah, you could teach the people all your methods.
Right, like in different, whichever way you feel like you.
Right, whatever resonates.
Relate with, exactly.
I'm so linear. I'm so different. I'm just like, the syllabus was my bare bones outline. And then as I'm reading the cases, I'm filling out what I need to know into that outline. And it's all words. And my long, I'm typing it. The long outline is probably 100 to 120 pages. Mm-hmm. And then I would work on my condensed outline, which usually it would be like 20 pages, but it was all words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then something I figured out a little bit later that I guess I wish I would have known in 1L. Actually, there's two things. So the first is that one of my writing professors told me that your outline is really just supposed to be the black letter law, and anything else in your outline is not appropriate for an outline, which I seriously mm-hmm. did not know. But
mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Once she told me that, I was like, interesting. So my outlines over the course of law school, when I really registered this, I would have the big subject, right? And then first case and what is the main holding from that case. And then if I needed, I would have a bullet or two about the analysis, what was important, maybe something to remind me when this applied. But basically, it was just the holding after holding after holding. And that was mm-hmm. my whole outline. And really, like, if you know the material enough, that's really all you need for your outline.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I gotta for sure fit all the holdings in a flowchart.
Right.
But exactly. I was putting all the, yeah, I don't even know.
Like, yeah, you tend in the beginning to put every detail.
I mean, and it's like a natural process because you just don't know. I mean, if you're, you know, if your professor, some professors do give practice exams. Mm-hmm. That can help, you know, like kind of like frame or like help your understanding on like what that professor is going to teach or like what not teach, what they're going to test on.
Yeah. I have a hot tip about practice exams. Another mm-hmm. thing that I learned later that I wish I would have known earlier, and that is that if your professor gives you practice exams, which a lot of mine actually did. I know yours didn't as much, Bailey, but mm-mm. if you're lucky enough where your professor is giving you a practice exam or two, take them in the beginning before you get like too really deep into your outlining. Take them in the beginning, and I'll explain why in a second. Do your outlining. And then take them again at the end. The reason it's important is mm-hmm. especially for 1L courses where those are bar exam courses. They have to cover every single subject because it's a bar exam course. They need to teach you everything, but they're not going to test you on everything. So when you get a practice exam from your professor, it's kind of a way to realize what they're going to test you on. So if you do that early before you get into your outlining, then I have a clue of, oh, my professor likes this subject or that subject or asks me questions this way or that way. And that will help you extract the right information in your finals outline as you're going through the outlining process. You guys, it might sound so counterintuitive. It's useful to you in the beginning because of exactly what I said. It tells you what your professor is going to ask. And it's useful to you at the end because by the time you've gone through your outlining, like you almost like forgot what that test was about anyways. Mm-hmm. So now you're going in and you're testing your knowledge. And so it works on both ends of the outlining process. Highly recommend. I hope people do this. And I know it'll help.
No, it's so smart. I didn't learn that until, or I guess I relearned it when it came time to study for the bar.
Right.
Because I didn't have like a lot of practice tests throughout law school, actually, especially first year. I don't remember receiving any, actually. Mm-hmm. But so we just used like exams or outlines from other students or would, because they are bar subjects, we would pull questions from like treatises or MBE, mm-hmm. like multiple choice. Even if we weren't being tested on a multiple choice exam, like we would pull multiple choice questions to kind of just like test our knowledge. But when it came time for the bar, I did exactly what you're saying, which is take the practice exams, like even if I don't really know a lot earlier. Yeah. And it is kind of, I mean, it's humbling and no one likes to feel like you don't know anything. And it does make you feel that way. But once you get over that and you realize this is not being graded, no one knows I got all the questions wrong. Nobody really knows that I don't know anything at this point. And then just use it as like, okay, like I'll just like kind of like you're saying, like fuel to like then kind of help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, like you're not just going to take the practice exam without looking at the answer. So when you're looking at the answer, you're also starting to learn the concepts, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've looked at those concepts once. And then when you come across those concepts again, as you're making your outline, you're like, oh, this was on the practice test. Mm-hmm. So it's super duper helpful. Please use it.
That's so true. Yeah. No, that's a great tip.
Thanks.
To sum up takeaways, a couple takeaways I would say for the outlining process 1L year, I would say start early if you can. Every mm-hmm. class, after every class is opportunity to like rework your notes if you have time or on the weekends to kind of like go through what you learned that week. And that can be in and of itself like little mini outlines throughout the semester, and then you can put it together and form your larger outline. So I would say start early. Mm-hmm. I would say choose whichever method works best for you. You may lean more toward Hamase side. You may lean more toward the crazy side that I'm offering. Mm-hmm. Either way, like outlining is super, it's a personal process, you know, it's a whatever way you process your own thoughts and your notes and how you learn best. So if it doesn't look like everybody else's way, it's totally fine as long as like you know the material at the end of the day. Yeah. And the last tip that I would say, Hamase, and then you can offer some tips too. Last tip I would say is check, like, I think it's helpful to be in the library, and I think it's helpful to talk to the librarians there who have the treatises or have the little special, like, there's a lot of books that I got from them that are, like, quick, like, contracts, and I don't know how to explain. They're, like, not treatises, but they're, like, study, what do you call them, like, workbooks almost.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, they're like workbook. Them. Okay. Yeah. They're like workbooks where there's questions and they will condense the law or condense, like, say, negligence or explain the law differently. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of those books. Like, I still actually have them now, especially on the first year subjects because they are so, like, quintessential to law and life in general. Those little books are like not even treatises, like, treatises can be bigger, but just call them like maybe workbooks or little guides. Those are super helpful even throughout the semester. So as I got older in law school, 2 or 3 a year, I would pull those books sooner and use them to actually form my notes earlier or learn the topics earlier. And wow. So I think, yeah, they were super helpful. Wow, I wish I knew the better name for them, but I would say like workbooks.
That's such a good tip.
Yeah.
Okay, I think my takeaways, those are good tips. My takeaways, you know, use whatever method works for you. Make your own outlines, even if you have to refer to other people's outlines just to, I don't know, get ideas or clarify an idea. I would still say make your own outline because going through the process of putting that together, I think, is very beneficial. Mm-hmm. It, like, you know, you have got to get deep in that subject and condense it. And it's a very good practice to make your own outline. When you're making your outline, as much as you can tolerate to do this, focus on the holding and just a few points of analysis. Don't feel like you need every detail in there because you probably won't. You won't have time to include every detail in your exam responses. So focus on the black letter law. Do the practice tests early and then redo them after you've made your outline. And then I guess one more tip I have that we didn't really talk about, but some people are independent learners. Some people love study groups and only want to study with study groups. Try a study group or two. It'll probably help you more than hurt you if you do that. So those are my tips.
That's it, you guys. That's our 1L outlining sesh.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, if you have questions, definitely let us know. We love questions.
Yeah, or if you're like, you know, what about this or what about that, or I did this and like, will that work?
We're sending you guys all the good vibes.
Whoop whoop whoop. You'll do great. Believe in yourself. You can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right, team. Love you, gavelers. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.